This one's in the books, but say hello to Mike Dempsey down at the stadium today with Fat Tony.
What's up? Hello today on behalf of Jaguar Today Nation today.
How are today you? Is the day of today is Jaguar day. Today.
Hicken, I am very proud of you for soldiering on this deep into the morning.
Thank you.
With your Rangers having dropped game one.
Oh, that stung a little bit, I got to admit. That, yeah. And you know, you make the effort, and they're fun games to watch, but gosh, you get a breakaway there in the last 30 seconds, man. If that dude had just stuck it in the net, oh, it would have been huge.
Yeah, if you just scored two more goals, you would have won, if you had think of it that way.
If some butts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas.
Will we see you out today at the open fan-friendly practice session?
I believe that I'll be there.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds less than convincing.
No, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to get there. I'm not going at 10:50 for the stretching part.
No, you like to. I mean, you're Dan Hicken. You need to make an entrance.
Entrance. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. About 11:30.
Is there trumpets and like a?
It's like in the morning. Same thing.
One of those Roman or those, you know, the caravan deals they used to
carry
them. One
of those the Egyptian deal they're going with this year, Pross. You know,
where
they carry them in on the poles.
What's that called? I just try to reach for that term.
They call that a Hicken limo.
Yeah, that'll buy.
I don't know what that's called. What is that called? That's a good question.
I don't know.
Today's Jaguars Today question of the day.
Yeah.
For a free T-shirt.
Yeah, first person calls gets a, you know, a 1010XL pencil.
There you go.
Koozie.
Well, as soon as we get some, we'll earmark one for you. Prosser, are we going to see you out today?
Yeah, actually, I am headed down that way.
That's fantastic. Right. Prosser will be one of the pole bearers for Dan Hicken's.
No, I'm going to have to beat him there. I'll beat him there, and that way I'll avoid the duty.
Chariot. All right, boys, we'll look forward to seeing you out here in a little over an hour. Thanks,
see
guys.
You soon.
All right, there they go. It's Hicken and Prosser in the morning, the drill. I wasn't sure if Prosser was there. He's kind of working in the background. Fat Tony's along. We've got special guests in the room as well. I'm enjoying it already. We got Lauren on scene. Lauren Brooks, who had quite an eventful last 15 minutes. Maybe we'll detail that for you coming up. Richard Miller's in the house today. Mr. Miller on sports.
Hey,
there he goes, just to prove it. And Joe Fortunato, little did you know, sings along to Afternoon Delight very loudly every day as we get ready for the show. The show, which begins right now, here's Jaguars Today.
Just in time, David shuffles his feet, turns and launches this one in the direction of Mike Sims-Walker. This one's going to be batted and caught! Touchdown! Oh my gosh! How did that happen? It was batted back into the arms of Mike Thomas, and the Jaguars have won it! Holy cow!
How did that happen?
That's unbelievable! Mike Sims-Walker batted it back! Oh! Hail Mary!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in everybody. We're live at Everbank Field, our new home away from home, from 10 to noon every day. Mike Dempsey and a cast of Revolve co-hosts with the man who's always here, Fat Tony.
Hey!
A little embarrassing. We both wore the same outfit today.
It was the plan. We didn't talk about it, but it was the plan. Look, it's open to the public today.
We're flying the flag today, Tony.
So I'm wearing the shirts.
We're advertising the
hashtag.
This
is my jersey.
Jaguars Today. You know who didn't wear the shirt?
Lauren
Brooks.
She promised us. Fortunato.
Promised us hot pink get up. Didn't get that. Didn't get much. We got low-key seersucker, and we got Fortunato is sporting the, I don't know if I'd call that hot pink, but if Joe's wearing it, it might be considered that.
It might have been hot pink before it got washed about a dozen times.
I'm very curious to see what we get here in a little less than an hour as the gates open for, Hicken said, an awesome stretching session that'll last for the first 10 or 15 minutes of practice this morning, but open to the public. Looking forward to that. Let's say hello to a member of the broadcast team. Formerly, we used to work together very closely in a scientific lab in Los Alamos. People don't realize that. And also at 1010XL back in the day, Richard Miller is the host of Miller on Sports and the voice of half the teams in the state of Florida.
Half the teams in Jacksonville.
Half the teams that would be a good start for you. Off to a good start nonetheless. Welcome to Jaguars Today for the first time. We haven't sat down in a radio booth together for a good long while. How you doing?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Of course, the invite always, and it's been fun out at OTAs. Fun in here as well.
It hasn't been too bad out there. I don't know what it's going to be like out there today. We got great weather early in the week for OTAs.
Well, with it being as early as it is, it's probably not going to be bad, but it's supposed to start getting hot again this afternoon, I think. Like in mid-90s this afternoon.
Well, we'll be off the field by 1 o'clock today. And Jags on the practice field 50 minutes from now. And Tony and I talked about this yesterday, Richard. And look, it's just a small thing, but I think it's kind of emblematic of what the organization has done thinking about the fans. They rotate through those fields. They've used the far fields most of the week, which tells you they're going to put themselves, you know, smack dab right in front. As you would expect, if it's open to the public, I mean, you're not trying to run all your secret plays in an open practice like this, but just trust us to say that not every coach over the last 20 years would have conducted themselves the same way in this circumstance. Of course, you might not have had an open OTA practice for a lot of those coaches.
No, absolutely not. And I think it's weird when I saw the stories on what happened in Cleveland with Johnny Manziel, where it's like, look, he threw these two pick sixes and 11-on-11s. I'm like, they're reporting on this? Like, it struck me as odd that they're even letting people talk about what Johnny Manziel was doing in that portion of practice, and maybe somebody from the team is trying to shut that down this week after what they heard about all that stuff. But it's awesome that they let us see what is happening in those 11-on-11 drills at all when they're installing their offense and defense, basically, at this point in the offseason. And the fans get to come out here today, and like they did during the rookie minicamp, my guess is that they're going to want to show off a guy like Blake Bortles a little bit more today than they would, you know, Chad Henne or what's going on. It's a shame. We don't know if we'll see Marquise Lee. We're obviously not going to see Allen Robinson, who may be out until training camp. So for the fans, that stinks a little bit, that you're probably not going to get to see your 2 second-round pick.
We saw Jerry Sullivan today as we were going upstairs to grab a bite to eat, and I thought about asking him, will we see Cecil on the field, you know, like kind of running it down, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
Jaguar Twitter will be ablaze right now, by the way. Got the tweet from Richard Correo, is what I'm going to go with, at Zoxitic on Twitter, and he tweeted us a picture of the line forming already. That is stretching halfway around, what would that be, the
Florida Blue
west side of the
fields,
stadium. Yeah. I didn't think it was directional, Tony. I know what the practice fields are called. I don't know east from west or north from south very well, however, but we got it around. Richard, I guess that is the shame, that you want to come out, you want to see the new toys. You'll see Blake Bortles today, but you're certainly not going to see Allen Robinson, and my guess would be, with Marquise Lee being in the boot earlier this week, why run him out there if he's not ready to go?
And it was something we talked about Monday and Tuesday, that it gives these other wide receivers an opportunity, especially with special teams. You look at maybe Kerry Taylor, Gus Bradley mentioned Chad Bumpus, Alan Hearns. Give these other wide receivers more of an opportunity. What's the count now? 6-7 wide receivers nicked up a little bit, even though it's still very early on. So you get to see these other guys. And I think today is going to be a lot of offense. You know, no matter what, fans of the NFL, they want to see offense, but I thought it was neat also earlier in the week. We're standing on the practice fields. It's a gorgeous day, a Monday after the weekend, but you turn right behind you and you see construction on the North End Zone video board. I think fans are going to really enjoy that today, whether it's 1,000, maybe 2,000. I think the fans are going to enjoy seeing that work on the North End Zone.
It's coming up, and it's got to be done soon. What is it, July 26th, I want to say, is the date for the Carrie Underwood concert. Fulham takes on DC United, and they'll unveil. I guess they're doing the soccer game first, and they're going to unveil. I guess they want a Jags game to be the first sporting event ever featuring
I suppose that's
what they're doing it for, but they're going to unveil those video boards on the 26th, and you look up and you're like, damn, get working. And there's still a lot of video board to put in the video board area.
And if you're going to the U.S. game against Nigeria this weekend, you'll obviously get a chance to see it from inside the stadium.
Which we are.
I know. Are all four of us going? Are you going
too,
Rich?
I'm going.
All right.
As a fan.
We said hello to Lauren officially. Hello, Lauren Brooks. How are you?
Hello.
That's all you're going to give us today. Have you investigated what our press credentials get us access to at USA Nigeria this weekend?
I haven't. investigated, but I have not received a response yet, so I will let you know when I do.
You're in the process of investigating.
I am efforting to find that information.
That's going on. Lauren, actually, you'd think she's working. It's a grueling job. It takes four of us to sit in the studio and get you ready for an open practice today, but Lauren's taking the day off so she can come out and watch practice and be a better, well-rounded Jaguar reporter for you, the listener of 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm going with anyway.
I like it.
You know, the crowd's coming in, and with Cleveland, I don't know if you guys saw the story from last week, but Cleveland basically started a sign-up list for all of their OTAs that are going to be open to the public, for all the training camp practices that are going to be open to the public, because they want to control the crowds with what's going on with Johnny Manziel. And in my own head, I immediately went, yeah, because Jacksonville definitely needed that boost, right? Here locally, there was no interest in this team from a local market. That's why they're putting 6,400 people out there to watch a bunch of rookies practice. Like, that was the first thought that went through my head when I saw that. And the Manziel mania, the only thing that they've gotten on top of that is the fact that he's going to Vegas, that he's telling everybody to shut up about the fact that he's going to Vegas. I mean, everything that came along with that. And instead, in Jacksonville, we have a quarterback who felt like he had a bad practice on Monday and took himself to the principal's office and said, hey, I had a bad practice on Monday. What do I need to do to get better? The fans in this city, man, seeing these pictures of these lines, y'all are just unbelievable, the excitement.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, to be lined up 45 minutes at least before
that's
practice
crazy.
Even opens up to go halfway around the stadium, maybe they will get $2,000 in here today. I would have been surprised if you told me yesterday they could
me
get
too.
$2,000. Maybe they won't. We'll find out. But either way, it's probably going to be a pretty good turnout for a weekday morning.
I mean, just the line of cars, when I was pulling in at maybe 9:30, it must have been 20, 30 cars just pulling into
sure.
that open parking lot. Yeah.
Well, there you go. They're maybe coming. They heard Richard Miller was going to be on Jaguars today.
They were all
today.
Following me.
Let's get in line today. Obviously, you won't see Justin Blackman for quite a while on this football field. There have been a couple of items, and I hesitate to even say anything new has been said. You know, Mike DiRocco basically saying the Jags are not going to cut Justin Blackman. I haven't been under the impression that they're given no indication that they would do anything of the sort. First of all, this circumstance is going to play itself out. He's not eligible to return. They don't have to deal with anything. Why would you cut this guy? You know, Ed Werder said sources close to the situation indicate that the Jags will hang on to Justin Blackman. Well, yeah, for one thing, you're not paying him, and you could cut him to make a public statement. I get that. If you really feel like it's gone too far down the line to the point of no return, but ultimately, at the very least, don't you want to try to control his next landing spot?
Yeah.
You know, you get a sixth-round pick for a guy like Blaine Gabbert. If Justin Blackman finally gets clear to play, the difference between he and Blaine Gabbert is he's actually good. And whereas there's a lot of risk attendant with will he ever be on the football field for you, how many sixth-round picks make your roster anyway? I mean, you can get something for Justin Blackman and have some say as to whether he's playing in your division, in your conference, if he's going to be on your schedule in the near future. So at the very least, don't you want to, you know, control that aspect of it with him?
Absolutely, because of how talented he is. Look, when he's on the field, this guy not only looks like a top five pick, he plays like a top five pick. He was dynamic during his time on the field for the Jags the last 2 years when he was actually able to get out there. The problem here, look, earlier this week with the Will Hill cutting up in New York, it became a story again. I don't know how many fans were even aware of the fact that the Jags could cut a player that was under a suspension like this. So it comes up again. Oh, they can cut him? Will they cut him? Like, that's the next natural thought in that progression. I agree with you, Mike. I don't think that they're going to cut this guy before they have a chance to see what's going to happen with his situation. We don't know how many more games he's going to miss. We don't know what's going to happen as far as how long the suspension's going to go. We've talked about guys in the league that have gotten a one-year suspension and have been out for 2.5 years
right.
before they get themselves reinstated into the National Football League. So where is Blackman in this process? We don't know. The league hasn't reinstated him yet. We don't know what the suspension is going to be on the back end of his being reinstated. Right now, the Jags are playing a waiting game, and they should.
All right, well, that dovetails with, and that's my favorite word, at least it has been recently. Have you noticed that about me?
I use that
quite a bit.
Yeah.
That meshes nicely with our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day today on Jaguars Today, which is simply, do you think Justin Blackman will ever play in another game for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not ever play in the National Football League, and in 140 characters or less, explain why or why not if you choose to tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at Miller on Sports. Agent Gibb is back in the studio. Hello, Andrew Gibson. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
At A Gibson 1010XL as well. Do any of us have the same motif for how
no.
we do our Twitter handles? Not really, do we? I guess 1010XL Fat Tony, 1010XL Lauren.
Yep.
Come
That's
the
true.
Closest. Andrew, how is it working with the knuckleheads in the afternoon these days?
Well, it's a challenge every day, and it's always fun, though, with Hacker T-Wig. T-Wig now in the fold, and, of course, Josie as well. It's always fun every day.
You. We don't want to trade you in for, you know, we don't want to trade in Lauren for you. We like Andrew. We don't miss him that much, Lauren. Or not at all, I should say. You can tweet any of those variety of ways. You can post on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Jaguars today. You can call the program at 641-1010 if you want to get on board. Do you think Justin Blackman is done permanently? Will he ever suit up for the Jacksonville Jaguars? One of the points of discussion for today for the show. Football Outsiders did a story on plugging the holes for the various AFC South teams, and they focused in on the Jags offensive line. We'll discuss that later on. What we expect to see out at OTAs today, and certainly you're welcome to call and share your thoughts on what you're hoping to see as well. And Richard Correjo is updating the photos on Twitter now.
Nice.
The line is wrapping well past the Jaguar statue, and gates will open, I don't know, probably
they open at 10:15.
At 10:15? All
yes,
right,
sir.
So they can start going in 5 minutes, and good for them. Those folks are going to get some front row seats today to open practice for the OTAs. Jaguars today, glad you're with us on this Thursday. Got the full crew in studio, and including the lovely and talented Joe Fortunato. You thought I was going to say Lauren Brooks. You would have been wrong.
I knew you were going to.
He wears
shirt,
pink.
Man.
I'm going to call him the lovely and talented Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Richard Miller, Lauren Brooks here with you. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
2 hours spent on two things, your Jags and the rest of the NFL. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars today live from Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined today by Miller on Sports, at Miller on Sports on Twitter. He is Richard Miller, and a good friend of the program, good friend of ours, and a great broadcaster here in Jacksonville, along with Lauren Brooks, who you don't laugh this much when we're doing shows with you back
at
the studio, do you?
My microphone's just not on. I laugh hysterically throughout the show.
There's a whole lot of laughter going on here. It's amazing how few coins people carry with them these days. We learned that. Men just don't carry coins, do we?
I do not.
Unless you're going, where would you go? Where's the last place you needed to have coins
toll,
at?
Like if I'm going to like Orlando, toll. I usually try to keep a couple quarters.
What if you park downtown?
Nah.
I don't have any place. I don't have any parking issues where I like regularly need to use the meter.
A stick of gum? Maybe? Just a single
stick?
A lone stick of gum?
Is that like a Lucy?
I like to
when
leave
you,
that
when you,
in the parking
meters. Is that like when you go into the
meter
gas station
comes,
and you
like,
want one stick?
They left me gum.
Is that right? Just jam it right in there. Right? We all decided let's have a wager on how many fans will attend.
I decided.
Lauren actually decided. And when I say we all, Lauren decided that this is what we would do. And so in trying to collect 25 cents from everybody, it hasn't turned out well so far. But I think I owe money to the pot now. Is that
I don't
right?
think so. No,
because you gave me money for Joe and for Richard, and I put it straight in my pocket.
So then, yes.
I think it should be $1.25 in the kitty.
Okay,
a lot on
yes.
the line. All right, Lauren Brooks, your idea. How many people are coming to practice today?
I'm going 29.75.
Who's got the tally? Tony, you got
I got it written down over here.
Oh, you already have numbers written down.
Yeah.
Hey, Pinky. Joe Fortunato.
Yes, dear.
What do you got for us?
27.55.
I like it. Richard Miller.
24.12.
24.12. Now, this is not closest without going over, by the way.
No.
Just closest to the pin.
This is closest to the pin, yes. Tony.
I have 15.56.
Ooh, Tony has no love for the Jacksonville fans.
No, I do. It is a Thursday at 10:30.
I'm going to go 2003. I'm going to try to split Richard Miller and Tony. I'm going to try to middle them.
Very strategic.
A little bit. Yeah, and well, I mean, I'm the only one with paper money on the table right now, so I should be given some. I get all tiebreakers.
You're also the only one who made money from the deal somehow. Too.
I did. I have a pocket full of dimes now. And
why not 2004? Because the birth year of your son, right? His birthday's coming up.
This guy, you know, if
making you look bad.
2004.
I'm looking at the conception year. Son.
Oh,
all right.
I see.
2003.
And things just got weird.
Well, he's the one who took me down that path. So, all right, let's clean up a bit of other business, as if that's important business that needed to be taken care of. But
there's a whole quarter on the line.
There is. There's a quarter per person on the line on this. Got this great tweet. I wish I had him to give to Ty. Ty Westerman tweeted, reverse contest, first radio station to give me USA soccer tickets wins, but he loses because he included some Twitter handles of some stations that I'm pretty sure don't exist in the city anymore, at least in terms of relevance. I don't know. Is that snarky? Is that too snarky of me?
There's not such a thing as too snarky.
Was this that just outright rude of me to say? Maybe that's the case. I don't care. Ty, if you had just sent it to me, I had a whole stack of tickets for you. It's a tough break for you there. Also, Duval Doom said that the Hail Mary was the best call ever by Brian Sexton. To which Brian Sexton weighed in, and he was asked about which call did he single out. He said, nope, not the best, very high on the list, but not number one. He was just begging for us to ask him then, so what is number one?
Clearly.
And clearly, Brian, who probably can hear me directly in the next office, thank you for sending your number ones tied for number one. His first, Fred's first 90-yard touchdown run versus Miami, tied for first, a 90-yarder in the playoff game, and the Chris Hudson blocked field goal where Bill Cowher wanted to take him out on the sideline on Monday Night Football back in 97.
Yeah. Those are two good ones.
Sounds like we've got a new opening highlight package to put together.
We just might.
Sexton's sexiest calls.
Sexton's favorite calls, I'm going to go with, as far as that goes. Unless we get it sponsored, and then we can call it whatever you like, and we're good with that as well. All right, Richard Miller's here with us. Richard, we haven't, you know, we'll talk about OTAs, what you've seen this week, but just in general, I'm sure you've been talking about it on your show Tuesday nights on 1010XL. Off-season, you know, your impressions, what they did in free agency, how they approached the draft, re-signing a couple of their own guys. What are your thoughts on how the off-season's gone so far for the Jags?
I'd say easiest way to sum up the off-season is very good. Everybody's been giving it that B-plus, A-minus range. Same thing with the draft for Jacksonville, but filling a lot of needs. I mean, you've been out there at OTAs. It's still clear that this roster needs to get better, but it is a vast improvement over last year. You look at the 2013 off-season for Jacksonville, I think between like February and early May, it was something like 13 players released or signed elsewhere or decided to retire. So now with Jacksonville, it is a new look at this roster, a number of rookies, a lot of young guys. I think I counted Monday afternoon seven players that have been with this Jacksonville team prior to 2011 or earlier, which is amazing. Seven players out of 90. That's just amazing. You know, Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell continue to put this stamp on this team. I think it's going to be an improved team, but a team that is going to fight for a 500 record.
I like the fact that they went out and took a shot at Alex Mack, even though it was a long shot that Cleveland was not going to match that, which showed you that if the right guy comes along, you know, it fits, you know, the parameters of age, performance, every, you know, all that stuff, that they're willing to pay top dollar, top NFL dollar for a guy to make him the highest paid guy at his position. Because you look up right now, and the latest report, PFT keeps up with the salary cap room, $28 million under the salary cap. Now, you can roll a lot of that over. I don't know if the entire percentage can be rolled over into 2015, but a big portion of that I know can be rolled over year to year. So you hope, I think, if this draft class develops the way they expect it to, if you feel like you've got your next generation quarterback ready to go, at least by the start of next season, if not at some point later in this year, and you've got less holes to fill. Some of the guys, the young guys that you've signed on short-term deals, maybe you reward them with a second contract. Then all of a sudden, you can go out and cherry-pick those two, three more high-priced guys kind of plug those holes. You feel like you're getting closer, maybe not to championship level, but certainly consistent playoff contention.
And I think with rookie minicamp a few weeks back, you know, still we're also focused on Blake Bortles, rookie wide receivers, Robinson, and Marquise Lee. But what the Jaguars did in free agency, of course, we've been talking so much about Toby Gerhardt, the size and athleticism of Red Bryant and Chris Clemens. And I think this is going to be a vastly improved Jaguars team, but a lot of that is due to free agency. Zane Beatles, you know, the Jaguars coaching staff has liked him quite a bit thus far, and I think he's really going to help out Luke Jokel and a few of what really are a number of unknowns along that offensive line.
Let me clear this up right now. All that's very important, but what I am about to say may be the most important thing I say today. I really do not have a stack of USA Soccer tickets, okay? So stop tweeting me and asking for your pair, okay? Everything Richard said, let's refocus on that right now. But stop it already. I was joking. I do not have a stack of soccer tickets.
Mike, you could have just responded to my tweet. I mean, you don't need to go on air and say that you're out of tickets.
Sorry, Richard. Sometimes you need to be called out publicly.
That's
okay?
Fine. That's
yeah,
okay.
You're a little needy and a little greedy. Look, if I had them, I'd be happy to give them to you. It's funny. We've had a rash of emails going around the building. Usually, events like this, there'll be tickets floating around, but there have been a lot of who's got ticket emails.
No, there's been a lot of that kind of stuff. When we had Marcus Pollard in a couple days ago, I think it was while we were sitting here getting ready to talk to him on air, but he was like, man, I didn't know anybody in this locker room cared about soccer. He's like, this game's coming, I can't get tickets enough for these guys as kind of the big brother in the locker room. And I heard him talking about it again the other day where Cecil and a couple other guys were like, hey, man, you got that hookup? Talking to Marcus, and Marcus is like, man, there ain't no more comps.
It's rough for Cecil to still be on that rookie contract,
right?
and making just, you know, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that he's making right now.
Still on those comps. We are out of comps. You guys got to come off the hip for it.
Hey, it doesn't matter how much you make. Who doesn't like free stuff?
No
right?
And
that's,
then again, that's coming from us who got credentials.
Oh, I know. Well,
but we're journalists covering this from a very
I had already paid for a ticket. I got my money back for the ticket, but I had already paid for a ticket to go with a bunch of friends and then got the press credential and said, hey, guys,
see ya.
Hey,
you're on your own.
Well, break your arm, pat yourself on the back there, Tony. I'm doing some profiles on a few of the Nigerian midfielders.
Oh, are you?
Yes, that will hopefully
tomorrow
we'll have time to
7:30?
Run next week. No, well, they'll be
check out practice
post game, pre-World Cup teasers. Get you all excited about what's going on. We're just hoping to be able to stand on the sideline for a portion of the game. That's what we're hoping.
That we are, and I will let you know what I find out.
All right, let's get back here. Jags off season again. We'll get to OTAs coming up here in a minute, Richard. Anything at all in the draft? They go with 9 guys that played in BCS conferences this year. They certainly plugged some holes. Bortles, I think, was a surprise because he wasn't being talked about. But outside of the fact that, you know, I think you can see the logic when you find out how much they like the guy and how much they've expressed that they like him, why they went that direction at 3. But outside of the quarterback, what, if anything, surprised you with this year's draft class?
I don't think much of anything really surprised me. I liked everything the Jacksonville did. No real surprises. I mean, maybe going with 2 wide receivers very early on in this year's draft in both Robinson and Marquise Lee, because I thought they could get maybe 1 or possibly 0, and they got both. So I think that might be the biggest surprise out of this year's draft. And like we talked about before, if you want to help your young quarterback, help your franchise quarterback, you need that offensive line, you need a nice backfield, and you need a few wide receivers that can stretch the field, and I think Jacksonville did that.
Yeah, well, hopefully. And the early returns, I think, were good for Allen Robinson in particular. And, you know, Marquise Lee, you see the athleticism out there. One of the knocks on him has been consistency, catching the football. I think you've seen that at times in practice so far. And that is the one shame, I think, today, really, for Allen Robinson to not be ready until training camp, potentially, to get out there with his team. As many mental reps you can take, fine, but
and he had been a stud.
The four times
we had seen him on the field, he shined on the practice.
People describe, who was the player that was in here that said Allen Robinson's a full grown man? You know, I forget who it was.
I think it was Ace.
Was it Ace Sanders?
Okay,
just saying, like, that guy physically, and he is a very mature seeming guy as well. And I think that's kind of a theme with this team as well. You know, they took a bit of a chance on Telvin Smith, who failed a test reportedly at the combine. But Dave Caldwell said at the time, look, we drafted 5 high character guys ahead of you. They've done things the right way. You need to step in line and get in line with that. And you feel like you're getting a talent that a lot of people had earmarked to maybe come off the board in round three, and you're getting him in the fifth round, the risk becomes, even if you consider it one, at that point, it becomes, I think, acceptable.
And you mentioned Allen Robinson being a grown man, according to A. Sanders. He's only 20 years old.
Right.
Robinson, 20, turns 21 on August 24. So just the future of that player, I mean, you're talking at least hoping a decade of catching passes, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I look at him, and I think you look at the big guys, and you expect them to be the big physical red zone targets, and you hope he can be that, but... To me, I watch him get behind corners and make plays down the field, and that's been as impressive as anything to see the speed and the ability to track the ball in the air deep, and he's made some acrobatic catches and, you know, just all around up until the point he pulled that hammy, really nothing that you saw that you just didn't like about that guy.
Mm-hmm. Is there somebody out of this rookie class that we haven't talked about too much that you think is going to be a fan favorite of this Jaguars fan base? I mean, Bortles, yeah. Robinson, yeah. Lee, yeah. But is there somebody else?
Well, Telvin, because of his personality.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to wear... I think Chris Smith has a great personality, just talking to the guy a couple of times, but he doesn't wear it on his sleeve on the field the way Telvin Smith does. Telvin Smith will be out there today, I guarantee you. You'll notice him... For something that, you know, he'll make a play or one of his teammates will make a play.
Well, first you go, is that guy playing linebacker? Like, you look at the size of him, you go, is that guy playing linebacker? And
right.
Then you realize it's Telvin, and he'll start running his mouth, and you'll be like, yeah, that's our boy
that's,
Telvin.
That's Telvin, yeah.
He's an excitable guy.
Well, you say that because you're so, what? Because he looks more like a big safety.
He looks like a safety.
Right, is what he looks like out there. But, yeah, he's definitely, I think, you know, you've got the Florida State connection for some of the fan base, but I just think more he could have played for Montana if he came in here with the same kind of attitude, and people love that stuff. People
and certainly
that up.
Storm Johnson.
Got to be able
plays
to play.
Running back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a
anybody that touches
can
the ball.
See. Yeah.
And then Luke Pawanko, because everybody is looking for a good, solid depth on the interior
and
of the
cute.
Offensive line. And this just in.
I did not know this.
Hold on. Whoa. This is the first. Tell us more, Lauren Brooks. Bowanko, huh?
Bowanko's attractive.
Bowanko is attractive.
For all the ladies who have not looked him up yet.
There you go.
They've been looking at Blake Bortles.
Now, if you want to know what Lauren Brooks' type is, Luke Bowanko, we'll have our eye on you out there at open sessions today. Anyone who could put a sign together in the next 30 minutes. Featuring something about Lauren Brooks and Luke Bowanko. There's a Jaguars Today t-shirt in your future. How about that?
Poor Bowanko.
Lauren, like, one day Lauren will learn you don't say anything around me, period. And she said that on the air, though, Tony, so I have no sympathy
for
her whatsoever. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll take a look at what has been going on up to this point in organized team activities, otherwise known as OTAs. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Richard Miller, and Lauren Brooks here with you, Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Richard Miller here with us today. Lauren Brooks on location down at Everbank Field. The Jaguars Today studios, Lauren, they're going to knock that wall out behind you or put a big hole in it and put in a big window.
Oh.
Not sure I like that. There's a lot of construction going on, not just the stuff visible outside. I don't even know what they're doing, but they're shuffling offices. There's a lot of... spackling stuff. I don't know what happens. There's a lot of power tools being used in the hallways, things like that.
A lot of grinding.
Pardon our dust kind of situation, right? No, what?
No, there really is.
Yeah.
A ton of it going on.
They're just trying to get better every day, right? Just show up, they've got a vision.
This is what getting better looks like.
They're going code black on this place. And what did code black mean?
I still don't know.
Did you pick that one up from Gus the other day?
A Mountain Dew beverage.
Is that it? What it was?
No.
Everyone was pounding Mountain Dew right before
yes, code black.
All right, everybody, gather around.
I think it's when the auto gets tackled by the Leo.
That might be it.
Just kidding.
Code black.
No, stop. There's no
We're
contact in the
each
off
other.
Season. He threw code black at us. Vision is the new one for Gus, though.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about that last week. We had a vision for this guy. We want him to be able to view the vision.
And he talked about it after he tore the team down a little bit during practice on Monday, that we have a vision for them, and they weren't taking hold of that vision, so we stopped practice. I mean, that was basically what he stopped it for. They weren't taking hold of the vision, whatever that happens
to be. Vision quest.
Yeah.
Whatever, and that's fine. Hey, look, his ways right now, at the very least, have players wanting to play for him.
No doubt.
Which is a far cry, certainly, from Mike Mularkey's failed one season here in Jacksonville. And he's consistent. And that's the other thing, too. He chews guys out, and that's you got to be careful trying to be everyone's best friend and still be able to step on them when you have to. And he seems to have been able to, up until this point, walk that line. You know, kept players, as we've highlighted many times, playing for him hard in the second half of last season.
No doubt.
Richard, let me ask you this. What do you think the number is? Is there a number, or has it come down to a quality of play issue for the Jags this year in terms of improvement on the field? Because all this is great. We sit around, hey, Jaguars today, we're bringing us guests, and we're all drinking the Kool-Aid to some degree, and it's easy to do in the offseason. Tons of positivity. You see everything going into the stadium. You see a new potential franchise quarterback. You see fresh faces and optimism. Easy to buy in. End of the line, they got to win games this season. How many do they have to win this year?
How many? I'd say at least five or six, and so much of that hinges on Chad Henne and how long he's a starter. I was looking at the schedule last night, and it's for me, it's just a matter of time before Blake Bortles starts, but it's around the bye week. It's that week 10.
You think it's a matter of time this season, at some point this season?
I do, absolutely. But for me, it's that week 10, give or take, maybe a week or two before there, and see how much better Chad Henne can do. Now, they put in all the pieces. We've talked about that on the offense, but I'm still just not sold on Chad Henne because I've seen him play too much.
I think Chad Henne's looked pretty good in practice up to this point.
That's fair.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've seen it. And I do think there's reasons, Tony. We've talked about, are there reasons for optimism to believe Chad Henne could have the best year of his career? Well,
sure.
The bar's not that high, you know, but still, you'd like to see him. You don't want to see him go out there and just be a 15-touchdown, 18-interception guy. You'd like to say, hey, if you could throw 20 touchdowns and keep those interceptions 15 or below, that would probably be a positive for this football team. Right? I mean, you know, and that sounds like I'm not trying to be facetious whatsoever when you see Peyton Manning throw 55, but that's kind of where the bar is for a guy like him.
And I think fans need to keep in mind, too, look, there's a lot of excitement around this team, and there should be. You know, I'm not going to fault fans ever for being excited about their football team, but when you step back and really take a look at where they are, Chad Henne is the starter, Blake Bortles they just drafted. They have an offensive line where two of the guys on that line have ever played together, really. I mean, Brewster and Pastore for any period of time. Those are the only two guys that have played together. Luke Jokel is now going to left tackle where they drafted him to be, but we haven't seen him play that position in the National Football League. They bring in Zane Beadle, so we don't know what the cohesion is going to look like on the offensive line. They bring in a free agent running back in Toby Gerhart. We don't know how well that's going to work out. We have Cecil Shorts, who we all love, but he gets hurt. I mean, and that has been his career to this point, is he gets hurt at some point in the season, and then you have a bunch of young guys at the wide receiver position. I mean, there are a lot of question marks, especially on the offensive side of the ball for this Jaguar team. Now, if it all comes together, then it looks great, but it doesn't take much of that not going right for this team to be about in the same position they were last year.
But you take Blackman out of the equation, because they only had him for four games last year, and you just talk about the raw material on this football team. Significantly better on the offensive side of the football, in your opinion?
I think so. Yeah, I really do. Although it is weird going out to OTAs the first couple days this week, not seeing Brad Meester, not seeing Uche Nwaneri, and not seeing Maurice Jones-Drew. When was the last time we could say that about those three?
Uche's still a free agent?
I think so.
Shouldn't that tell you something? I mean, shouldn't that tell us something about that? Because you don't have to sign him for what his last contract is. You're not claiming him off waivers at this point. Now, maybe he's had some interest and it's for minimum and he wants to wait and see if he can get a better situation in training camp. That's certainly possible, but usually quality offensive linemen are hard to come by and they get snatched up when they become available, whether it's because they're overpaid, as they feel the case was with Uche. So you wonder how much of a drop off are you really going to have even at the right guard position? I know he's got some experience. He's not going to be swimming in over his head like maybe a rookie would be, but in terms of raw talent, I don't know if they have that much to make up for.
And I think for 2014, I think it's reasonable to say we might see two, three names at right guard this year. I think that'll occur. And then the right side, right tackle.
Linder, obviously one,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
McClendon.
McClendon, I think you throw in there. And then probably somebody else you bring in.
Logman loves Nowak. I don't know how popular that opinion is in the organization or certainly among the media. I think that he's seen as just another guy. But I'll say this, Jeff, people talk about watching tape. Jeff watches as much as anybody I know of in this town, and we're talking about the coaches tape, the all-22 tape.
Yeah.
And I would trust his ability to know what to look for on film over anybody in this market, put it that way.
And Tony, I think it's much like last year in that offseason where the question for me was, how many opportunities and turnovers can the defense get to set up this Jaguars offense? That for me is the number one question, much like last year.
Well, you know, improved front eight. And it may not be a case where you've got one guy. Maybe it's not Chris Clemons getting, you know, 12 to 14
sacks. They got a bunch of bodies. I mean, they got a ton of bodies to throw out there.
Right. So maybe you get three guys with eight, right, which would be an improvement. And then if you still have those other guys, you know, the defensive tackle shooting in there with four or what have you. You know, if you could get Clemons, Babin, Branch, say, with eight apiece this year, you're probably on your way to your highest sack total as a team in years.
I look forward to a lot of sacks this season, not of Chris Clemons.
We found that out about you, I believe, when we did the Pro Bowl show a few days ago, and we all are looking forward to that. He does. Richard said to me out there, he goes, and we're such media people. I said, because I've done this exact same one. He goes, he hits the bag. He goes, it just sounds different, doesn't it? Right? And I'm not picking on you. I say the same things, right? But you're like, and we're both like, do we even know if, you know, are we fooling ourselves into thinking, is it because he's a guy who's been there and done that and he's had success in the league that he's going to come in? And when you see him run a drill, you're like, that's the way a drill is supposed to be run. You know what I mean?
Well, you came out a little bit later because of Jaguars today and your hosting duties. And you almost, at times, it's not that you run out of things to say, but you're trying to pinpoint exactly when they developed into that all-pro caliber player because you kind of want to be the person to call that out. But there are definitely times where you see a player, a snap, and you're thinking, wow, that was beautiful. How do I describe that?
Right.
You know, the wind just blew right by him. He was faster than the arrow on CW17. I mean, you get to a certain point.
Nothing's faster than that. Come
Nothing.
On, let's not be ridiculous.
But Mike, I will say, I think a significant story coming out of today will be Chris Clemons. I think fans will see this player, 6'3", 260. I mean, what was it, about 2 years ago where he had four sacks in the first half against Green Bay?
Right.
I mean, pre-ACL tear, this guy was
three straight
really
years
good.
Where he was...
He was a beast.
You know, yeah, he was a double-digit sack guy. Each of those years, Brooks, you're going to get us in so much trouble. I like your attitude, but that's one that we cannot explain adequately on the air. But Lauren just says she's appreciative of Chris Clemons' game at this point. But I agree with you. Not only him, you see Red Bryan out there, and you're like this massive. It's not just that he's a massive human being. It's that he's had success in this defense, both of those guys. And you come in and you think, you know, that's just going to make – it's going to push your front-line guys down to second-line guys. It's going to make the depth of that the unit better. And that's what you're talking about, you know, getting disruption, setting up your offense so they can go with the short field. You don't have to sustain a bunch of drives because when you talk about all those new pieces together, you know, all it takes is one of them to break down. That drive breaks down, and there you go. That's – Tony, we've talked about Blake a lot, and I do believe that – the Jags are serious about letting him sit as long as necessary. Richard thinks it'll end up ultimately being somewhere around the bye week when he comes in, which I don't think is unreasonable whatsoever. But I see Blake Bortles out there right now, and I just think, you know, again, it's less than 2 weeks of OTAs, right? And it's just practice. It's not in pads. It's not the full thing. But just from what we've been able to observe right now, there's a gap, a significant gap, that he needs to close between himself and Chad Henne at the moment.
Well, yeah, and when we went out there for the first OTA, one of the things I said is you can tell that one of these guys has played in the NFL and is comfortable in the offense they're running, and one of them looks like everything's being crammed into their head at the same time. I mean, that's just the way it looked between those two guys. I think that gap is a little bit smaller than it was when they started practice last week. With Blake, the arm is there. I know that the arm is there, and every now and then he'll let it rip on one of those little intermediate routes, and you're like, whoa, that was a rope. And that's something that Chad Henne just can't do. But what I've loved from Blake Bortles to this point in OTAs and through that rookie minicamp is how decisive he's been with the ball. And again, I don't know if they're telling him you're going to throw it to this guy on this play. I don't know how much they're letting him read at this point in time. But when he takes the snap in these drills, He hits that back foot, the ball's out. And it's out in time, and it's generally getting to the right guy on that read, which is a very good thing at this point in his development.
By the way, Uche apparently signed with the Ravens, thanks to Robert Belford on Twitter for pointing that out, or refreshing my memory. I probably had seen that at some point, but
joining
certainly,
Eugene Monroe again.
Certainly forgot about it. Yes, he is joining Eugene Monroe up there. Did you see somebody tweeted a picture of
I
your
did.
Future husband
That's,
as well?
Yeah, thanks
now
to
it's
Brandon.
A thing. Now it's a thing. Lauren Belanco as Brandon at BZ Buzzard out there.
The initials don't have to change though.
They really
LB.
Don't.
That's
so
true.
He's got photos of all the guys headed out there to practice today. So practice stretching. Oh, they're stretching right now at this very minute. The first hamstrings are being limbered up before the Jags take the practice.
We should
field.
Probably start our stretching.
Open practice. Can't wait to get the count now. Everyone says we went under. They're saying the parking lot's three quarters full. Lauren's got the high tally. I think still there are a lot of people in the parking lot that Friday. They had a little over 2,000. 2,900, I think, is optimistic for Thursday morning.
But it is optimistic.
Nonetheless, very cool to see people wrapped halfway around the stadium about an hour before practice opened up. Hope they all headed to Jaguars.com. And got their passes printed out ahead
I thought
of
this
time.
Was the case. Uche Nwaneri didn't sign with the Ravens. Rackley did.
That's who. See? I just take
I was just,
Twitter.
I was checking,
Twitter never fails you until it fails you.
I was checking to make sure that that's what had happened, but yeah, it was Will Rackley that signed.
There you go.
He rejoined Eugene Monroe.
Yeah. So you're saying that Uche's been released?
Uche is Tony, still
breaking,
a free agent.
Breaking Tony Smith. I don't know. That's what I thought he was, but. However, maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I'm confused now. Eugene Monroe's there too, right?
Eugene's
okay,
there.
Okay, I knew that one. Thank
By
you.
By the way, for fans that are out there today, they should definitely use the hashtag Jaguars today while tweeting from the stands.
Yes, that would be fantastic. We did not bring any t-shirts with us, but Lauren would be happy to take down your addresses and phone numbers and get in touch with you later.
That sounds wonderful.
If you can get her attention. During practice today. Good luck with that. All right. 641-1010. If you want to jump in, you going to stick around for another segment?
I can, yeah.
All right. Let's
course.
Do that before he heads out to the practice field. Give him a triumphant standing ovation welcome when you see Richard Miller out there. At Miller on Sports on Twitter and right here on Jaguars today with Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Lauren Brooks on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Jaguars Today on the home of the Jags. 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, folks, got a little time left to think about lunch today. I'm going to do your thinking for you today. Make it a delicious dandy sandwich or sub. You know what? They've been serving Jacksonville with the highest quality product for 58 years. The Thompson family, locally owned and operated, family-owned company right here in Jacksonville, using only the highest quality meats and cheeses on their food, on their sandwiches, Black Forest ham, roasted garlic, cheddar cheese, you name it. They've got a variety that I guarantee you, you're going to like, whether it's egg salad, chicken salad, tuna salad. They've got all the big boy breakfast sandwiches, flatbreads, Cubans, great variety, and they're all good, all delicious. Most of the breads bake locally as well. It's a recipe for a great sandwich, great on the go or anytime. Certainly at lunch, you don't want to get caught in the drive-thru line for 30 minutes. Pop into your local convenience store. Look for that bold yellow logo that says Dandy on it with that cool little dude with the cane. Tell him Mike Dempsey sent you. If you can hear my voice, there's a convenience store near you selling delicious Dandy sandwiches and subs. Make yours a Dandy today. All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. And on this date in 1905, according to the never-fallible football search engine.com, who yesterday told you it was Marion Motley's birthday,
yeah.
Tony. Happy birthday once again to Marion Motley, apparently.
They do double birthdays on this site a lot.
By the way, I saw Paul Fraze because they did that with him.
Yeah.
Right? And I saw him at the last open practice, and I said, Paul, I don't know if you heard us. We wished you happy birthday a couple of times last week. He goes, yeah, I don't know how that got out there. That I think it's May 6th is his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, somehow somebody printed something with May 5th. So there's like all this stuff about me being born on the wrong day out there. So it's the burden Paul Fraze must bear in life as a former high-profile celebrity with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So happy birthday again, all 40s team guy.
Art Donovan. Is his birth? He was the 1905 guy. 1920 was Marion Motley.
Yeah.
Art Donovan was one of the great interviews of all time. You ever see Art Donovan like on Letterman? You know, with the buzz cut, played with the call. Oh, are you kidding me?
I think
Art Donovan was maybe the most entertaining post-career athlete you could interview. Just, you know, talking about, you know, this idiot doing this, and I bit this guy's finger off in a pile. I mean, just he was just, you know, the man's man guy that you could just, you know, imagine. Loved the game, played in an era when they didn't make a ton of money, had all these just great anecdotes about playing in that era and all that came with it, and had zero censor, you know, whatsoever. Just a phenomenal game. You ever see him on Letterman back in the day? He used to go on Letterman quite frequently, as a matter of fact.
I think a few times, but it's so great about those older NFL guys that they have no mute button. I mean, they'll say just about anything at times. I mean, you see
what
it.
What do they care?
Exactly. You see it at Radio Row almost every single year. I mean, those guys throw out gems.
Well, what 90-year-old isn't like that? But these guys have actually had some stories that we want to hear.
Right.
You know, so that makes it pretty
not
cool.
Only got
like,
that...
when I was a kid...
But they also have the mentality of they had to work two or three jobs
right.
along with the NFL,
right.
and they're watching these millionaire 20-year-olds, and they're like, you know, let me tell you about
I
how
was
it
delivering
was.
Packages for whatever. It's just great. I mean, Art Donovan was just absolutely phenomenal. Played with the Colts, the New York Yanks.
Wow. And, no wonder you love
and Dallas. I don't know if it was the Cowboys or the was it the Dallas Texans back in the day?
I think it was, yeah.
Was it the Texans became the Cowboys initially?
Yes.
I think that's how it is, and now the Texans are
they're back.
Battle redding for supremacy back in the state of Texas. Also, a sad memorial today. A year has passed since JT Townsend passed away, and you know, certainly an inspirational figure here. Richard, you probably, I would wager, knew him better than any of us in this room, interacted more with him. He's a kid, man, that... had, you could argue, you know, bad hand dealt, however you want to look at it, and handled it with as much class and positivity as you, I couldn't imagine doing what he was able to do as a guy to just inspire you to enjoy your life and live your life and take full advantage of it and appreciate everything you had.
There are a few people you meet in life that are always smiling or are pretty close to it, and JT Townsend was definitely one of those. And it was nice getting to know him, I guess, a little over 2 years ago. He started coming on my radio show pretty frequently, and we'd just talk about whatever, talk about the Miami Heat. He was a big fan of them, big fan of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I was telling you, I switched phones over the weekend and kind of, you know, I'll find some way to save him, but a little over a year ago, we were talking about the Jaguars in the 2013 season and his expectations and just kind of laughing at some of those texts. But, yeah, definitely missing JT Townsend, but a great guy and big sports fan.
Yeah, and our thoughts obviously out to his family they commemorate the year anniversary of his passing right now. Yesterday, sports lost Don Zimmer. And I was telling you guys on the break, I told the story a billion times on the air, but Zim was one of my all-time favorite interviews back maybe 12 years ago. The Associated Press had, there was a Rolodex of numbers. It was really like a Word document that had been copied over and added to, and it wasn't the, you would think for the Associated Press's Rolodex of sports numbers, it would be a little more organized, but it was pages and pages and pages of numbers of recognizable people's names, their home numbers. Not everybody had, mostly home numbers because not everybody had cell phones back then. But, you know, like George W. Bush was on there, his home number in Texas. Now, I don't know if the number was still good. We didn't try calling that one. But we looked at it and we're like, who can we call on this list that might answer the phone and might go along with some radio knuckleheads and just appear live on the air impromptu without any. And so we called Zimmer and we're like, we explained, you know, Don, you're on the air live right now, this minute, so don't say anything bad. We're not trying to, you know, put you in a bad spot. We just called to talk baseball with you. Didn't tell him how we got his number. And he goes, hang on, my kid's on the other line. Let me get rid of him. he goes, quick. We're like, what? He's getting rid of his kid. He hung up on his kid. He comes back. He goes, all right, what do you want to talk about? And he spent like the next 15 minutes talking about all his great stories from baseball. At this time, I don't think Pedro Martinez had thrown him to the ground.
No, that was pre-03, yeah.
Yeah, pre-Fracas back in the day. But he had so, I mean, this guy was just a wealth of stuff. Hated to see Zim pass
66
yesterday.
Years in baseball. 66.
66 years. And I believe he was the guy who'd always say he never earned a paycheck outside the game of baseball ever in his life. Never worked another job whatsoever in his entire life, but directly involved in the game of baseball. So, and there are at least 13 Jaguars Today listeners right now who couldn't make it out to practice. We're going, what are you talking about? Do you understand what the name of the program is? We love you, Sam. All right. Best Fence Company brings you this date in football history, kind of a retrospective of a lot of things right there. The mission of Best Fence Company, to fabricate and install the highest quality product at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. You're going to feel the difference. You'll see the difference as well. Your family is going to feel protected. You're going to breathe easier knowing Best Fence installed your new fence either at your home or your place of business, and you'll get a professional free estimate at your convenience. Call Best Fence Company of Jacksonville today at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Richard Miller, who you can catch every Tuesday night at Miller on Sports on Twitter, and the show is Miller on Sports on Tuesday nights. Richard, you've been out to this week's OTA practices, and just from what you gathered, other than some of the obvious things that we've talked about, anything else that has stood out to you over the last couple of days?
You know, one thing I almost always watch, and it's neat watching Gus Bradley because he rotates so well. I mean, you can see when a head coach understands what everybody's doing, lets his position coaches do their job, of course, but when he's rotating from, you know, the defensive line, going over to the wide receivers, looking at the quarterbacks for a little bit, the way he's able to do that so well and separate his time spent 4 or 5 minutes here, go over there for 10 minutes. I mean, that to me is always impressive, and I enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of fun watching the transition. You know, as a guy who are we talking with yesterday, Tony, saying, you know, Gus never really thought this was the path he was going to take. He never planned for a career in the NFL. He thought he'd be maybe it was Osher, right? I think it was Osher talking about this, because we were talking about the coaches clinic and how he really connects grassroots level with people. And he thought, you know, you do more of that in college. But in the pros, he's brought, I mean, Pete Carroll, people want to kind of laugh at his collegiate approach to it. Well, it certainly worked in Seattle. Might not have worked everywhere else, but all the ingredients came together. It worked. They won a Super Bowl. I think he's had a big influence on Gus. Just the way he approaches things, you can make it fun and still be serious about your business. And it's, you know, it's different, Richard. You're a coordinator, you can chew that ass every day if you want to. You're the head coach, you got to pick your spots a little more judiciously, I think.
And I think also for fans, if you're watching Gus Bradley, you know, a lot of the talk maybe during Ricky Minicamp also was Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach. I mean, his name gets talked about more and more over these last couple seasons, but the way he talks to Cecil and Mike Brown and Ace Sanders and the rookie wide receivers, I mean, I think we saw it last year when Tobias Palmer was brought in as an undrafted rookie free agent out of North Carolina State, that, you know, Jacksonville has a lot of trust in Jerry Sullivan. You bring in a young wide receiver, and potentially he becomes maybe your fourth, fifth guy.
All right, for you, heading out there in a few minutes, what are we going to have next week on Miller on Sports? Just tell us what to look forward to over the course of the summer. For people who haven't checked it out, Fat Tony, it's got his show on Monday nights. You've got your show on Tuesday nights, the Broanko Show, the Brooks Broanko Show, I'm sure coming to a night near you. We'll work on that one. What can we expect on a weekly basis on Miller on Sports?
Well, it's always Jaguars talk. Usually maybe 7:15, 7:30, get a Jaguars player on. You know, I think Storm Johnson will probably appear next week, and we'll just talk about OTAs, Jaguars offseason, plenty of JU, UNF. I'm sure we'll get the new Dolphins AD probably in studio, World Cup viewing parties for the Armada. So a lot of Jacksonville, a lot of local sports talk on Miller.
Now, you're going to the game this weekend.
I am.
Doing the press route, you're doing the fan route.
I think I'll go fan.
It's probably the smart route to go.
Get a little rowdy.
I'm too cheap for that. But I'll probably wish I'd gotten rowdy with the designated driver, but it's okay.
We'll do you have a scarf? Do you have a scarf for the weekend?
I don't have a scarf for the weekend.
You're going to be chilly.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, I know.
Yes.
Well, the good thing is I have plenty of Cat in the Hat hats in my closet. So
sweet.
I always look for a good opportunity. I'm
any
always
red,
like,
white, and blue?
When can I wear one of these Dr. Seuss looking hats? Oh yeah, there's a soccer game coming to town. I'll fit right in with everybody else. So I don't know. I don't have any Cat in the Hat hats. So I'll just be me.
I got the Cat in the Hat hat and the
oh, I know you do.
I got the scarf too, but it's up on the wall in the living room.
What about you? You got like the Elton John glasses with the red, white, and blue colors and nothing like that?
Not that far. You've got the Elton John.
Oh, he's got it all.
Oh,
right.
He got it all?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I need to check this out.
He's like a
well, I'm going as media.
An officer in Sam's army.
When we were here for Scotland, I was like, I made the news, like Dave DeCandis, who knows me very well with Fox 30 and CBS 47 at the time.
Now with the Jaguars, because yeah, they will assimilate you.
Didn't recognize me. Like, because of my get-up, didn't recognize who I was. So he's doing, like, an interview outside the stadium, and he gets done with the interview, and I take off the hat, and Martino's standing over there laughing at him the whole time because he knows it's me. And, yeah, me and my friend got on the news that night.
But, awesome.
Yeah, I get all decked out for Team USA.
Well, next game, I think we should both get decked out and go. No, none of this media stuff.
This Tony's on the radio every day. He's been on TV plenty of times. He's like, I get on the news, man. It's like, hey, we can get on the news a lot more than the average person.
I made it, Mama.
I made it. I made it with my my Elton John glasses. All right, get out there. Richard Miller is heading. Are you heading out there too, Warren,
yes,
right
I'm
now?
Heading out there, and was going to update you on the receivers.
Oh, where you got? Oh, what's the update? What do you got?
According to John Osher, it looks like Cecil, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Mike Browns, and A. Sanders are not working. And then Rhino Halloran also says that Tandon Doss is not working.
Tandon Doss is not working.
We have no receivers.
Well.
We have no receivers. Maybe Richard should get out there.
The Kerry Taylor fan club is having a good week.
I mean, seriously,
right now.
That's the top five on the depth chart that aren't practicing today. And then the competition beyond that is basically what's out there.
Correct. Heavy tight end day. Yeah. I think we'll see more handoffs.
Come on, Brandon Barden, anchor down, buddy.
Brooksy, are you heading out there right now, too?
I am. I'm going to go tweet some pictures.
So we're going to meet you out there.
And I'm going to make sure that Ryan Robinson, the PR staff for the Jaguars, confirms that it's 2,975 people that are out there, whether or not
it is. The fix is in. There's $1.30 on the line here. All right, here's what I want. I'm sure there is at least one, maybe two people in the stands listening via mobile device right now. I want chance of Richard Miller, and I want chance of Brolanko as well, okay, for the Brooks Brolanko dream pairing somewhere down the line. So if I can get some chance of Brolanko and Richard Miller, and or if I can get somebody to tweet a picture, first person who tweets a picture of Lauren Brooks and Richard Miller to @MD_1010XL, we'll give you a Jaguars Today t-shirt. How
there
about
you
that?
Go.
That'll reward you for listening out there in the crowd right now. There's going to be a stalker, boys, right outside the front door of Everbank right now.
Tony takes our photo right now.
Right, Tony's like, hey, I need another one because I'm
wearing
one now.
Jersey, that's right.
And I want another one for a friend. All right, Richard, great to see you, man. You do a fantastic job, and I'm sure bigger things to come for you in the future on 1010XL 92.5 FM, as we like to say. One of those guys that we won't be surprised to be working for one day, Richard Miller. Miller
you,
on
Mike.
Sports. You got it, buddy.
Thank
I'll
you.
See you out there.
Much
in a
love.
Bit. There you go. Much love. Mad love to your brother. Lauren Brooks. Lauren Brolanko. Brooks Wanko. Brolanko. She's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, be ready for her. Tony I'll be out there in a little bit. We'll come back. More Jaguars Today coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right. We've managed to clear the room. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live from Everbank.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of our core constituents out there right now, based on the tweets we've been getting from practice, the practice field, as we told you, thanks to the various Jaguar media Twitter handles out there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of wide receiver talent on the field, at least near the top of the depth chart for the Jags today. Not a surprise, by the way.
No, we knew those guys were all probably going to be missing practice today if they missed it a couple of days ago. Still disappointing for the fans coming out to not be able to see some of those guys, especially Cecil Shorts, who they haven't seen yet this year. The 2 second-round picks, obviously. And we've talked about the competition that's going to be there at the bottom end of the roster at the wide receiver spot. These guys are getting an opportunity in these 2 days of practice, at least, to show off a little bit with those extended reps. We'll see if they can make some kind of impression.
Today, well, let's talk about the impression, Tony, that the Jaguars offensive line made or failed to make on the folks at Football Outsiders, which is the scouting branch of ESPN.com, to put it. I think it's a fair way to put it. And they did a story called Plugging the Holes, AFC South Edition, identifying the biggest remaining needs for the four teams in the AFC South. We'll start right here with your hometown Jacksonville Jaguars, and they said the biggest hole is the offensive line. Now, we've gone through, we all know what we expect to be the opening day lineup. At least I know what I expect. I think Linder ultimately be the opening day starter. I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if it's McClendon. You give the rookie a chance to push his way in, but I think it'll, in short order, Brandon Linder will be your starter at right guard. I think the other four positions, while not set, are pretty clear. They have clear cut front runners, including Pastor at right tackle. But, the analysis from Football Outsiders. They ranked the Jags line 31st out of 32. Who was dead last, by the way? Do we know?
They said the Ravens.
Was it the Ravens? Oh,
ahead of only the Ravens.
If I finished reading the rest of the sentence, I could have known that.
Who just took two-fifths of the Jags starting offensive line last year.
Right, they took Monroe. So that worked out well for them, and then they rewarded them with a big contract, and then they picked up Will Rackley. And I thought for a moment there that they had had Uche Nwaneri, but I had been led astray.
No.
Not
yet.
By Twitter.
There's still time.
Hey, there is still plenty of time to get that done. But 31st in adjusted line yards. Look, I don't know precisely what that measures. I'm sure I could find out. But basically, it's their advanced metrics way of measuring offensive line proficiency, right?
There probably aren't a whole lot of stats in the NFL that you want to be 31 out of 32.
None, right, that you want to be in that
whatever
regard.
It is, you don't want to be down there.
Picking 31st in the first round is not bad, although it's ultimately a disappointment to have lost the big one. But you'd take that right now, picking 31st where this team is at the moment. But I assume, and they say adjusted line yards. So instead of just saying, you know, this team produced X amount of sacks or allowed X amount of sacks, and they'll take that and I assume they'll weigh that against the teams that they played and their sack rates, and they'll take the average yards per rush in different situations. They'll compare that to the league average. They'll compare that to the actual competition that they played, and that's how they come up with an adjusted number. Either way, 31st in the league last year. They said maybe Luke Jokel's poor start on the right side meant nothing, and he'll be the safe pick to anchor left tackle that the Jags thought he'd be when the team chose him second overall. A lot of maybes is their point here. Maybe signing left guard Zane Beatles to an eye-popping five-year, $30 million deal will pan out. Maybe between Austin Pastore and Cameron Bradfield, the Jags will have an adequate right tackle. Considering he was a college center, maybe moving Mike Brewster back to the middle will help remedy his lack of functional strength at guard. Maybe third-round guard Brandon Linder is NFL-ready right from the get-go. So they're saying a lot of maybes. The more likely scenario, according to Football Outsiders, is the Jags still carry a bad offensive line next year. Brewster has been downright bad in earlier appearances. We'll go through these point by point in a second. Beatles isn't better than solid, and he blew 21 pass blocks last season, according to their game charting, more than any other Broncos interior lineman. Jokel may have more growing pains, and the other positions aren't settled. I don't think there's anything unfair in the assessment of it, Tony, but I do think, starting with Mike Brewster in particular, you're talking about his functional strength. Well, that was clearly a deficiency for him. They're saying maybe it will, moving back to center will help remedy that. Well, how about maybe he spent the offseason in the weight room and he's come back looking noticeably bigger? That is something, you know, that you can improve on. You can improve on your raw strength. You spend time in the weight room. You're an offensive lineman. He is bigger. He is stronger. They've raved about the way he's prepared himself for this offseason, at least. Will that translate to great play on the field? Well, a lot more factors go into that. But if you're looking just at the getting pushed around aspect of his game, he has done everything he can up to this point to try to remedy that.
Well, look, there's no doubt, and the team drafted a center, in obviously as well in the sixth round, on Luke Bawanko. So they're thinking maybe they need to have a plan beyond Mike Brewster as well. They tried to go get Alex Mack at least for a short period of time. So they knew that this was a need on this roster. Maybe they still don't have the player that they want long term to be playing center for this franchise. We don't know, but Mike Brewster is going to be the first guy to be given that opportunity. Mike, for me, it goes back to something I said a few moments ago. On the offensive side of the ball, it's so thin, and there's so many things where you're guessing at, exactly like this article saying, maybe this works. I mean, I think that there are a lot of people who are very optimistic about what this will look like when these are the starting five that we were just talking about for this team, and I prefer to be optimistic as well, but I think there is the chance that a guy like Mike Brewster's had a couple years in this league and hasn't shown much. You know, and maybe he's just not able to play at the NFL level. And if that's the case, well, now you're talking about having to replace the center with either a couple unproven guys and a guy like Patrick Lewis or, you know, Luke Bawanko, who's a rookie this year. I mean, there are big question marks on this offensive line, and it starts right there because Brad Meester didn't miss anything during his time here with the Jaguars, and he's gone. To lose that kind of consistency is going to be a big dip.
Well, consistency in terms of being there every week, showing up.
Right.
And I don't know how good his play was, to be frank with you, over the last couple of years. And I'm not going to try to sit here and critique it in depth because I don't know how many times I could say, don't trust me for offensive line evaluations. That's not what I'm here to do. And, you know, but I've been told by people that judge that and grade that, that it wasn't spectacular. So maybe the bar is not that high to improve that position actually on the field. Brad was a good, steady guy. Everybody loved Brad Meester. Don't know how much they loved his actual play on game day, particularly last season. Now, I think Jokel, you know, we're assuming, and everyone here is assuming, and we're hearing all the right things, that they really see all the tools, that they're all there, what they thought they're getting. He, as well, benefited from the downtime, rehabbing his injury, working with Brewster. The two of them became gym rats together, and they're both noticeably stronger, bigger guys. But I think it's fair to point out, he did struggle early on the right side. Now, it's not like the situation with the kid, what is it, Eric Harris in Kansas City, is that the guy's name, who went number one last year?
No.
Eric, what is it?
It was Eric something, I feel like, but no.
What do you got?
I
got Eric.
Know.
What do you got?
Why can't
we remember the guy's name?
I don't know. Had the wrist problem last year, too.
Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Remember his college?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Eric Fisher.
Eric Fisher. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Agent Gibb. Agent Gibb gets a gold star today.
Boom!
For popping in with Eric Fisher. Thank you very much on that one. That, how bad are we? Is that us, or is that, that the fact that he had a really rough rookie season?
He was really bad. We should have remembered that, though.
I think we should have probably remembered that just a year ago. But it's you'll see. All right, I'm 45. You'll get here one day. It doesn't get any easier in that department for me. I have hopes for Jokel, but like you said, any one of these guys gets hurt, Tony, and maybe it won't matter if Linder gets hurt because you got McLennan, and maybe they're interchangeable, and maybe you could get away with, you know, Pastor getting hurt, and Cam Bradfield could come in and do a decent job for you. Maybe Zane Beatles, Luke Jokel get hurt. You're counting on those guys to not only play well, but, you know, offensive linemen, yes, they get hurt, but a lot of those offensive linemen, you lock them in, you see these guys play, you know, 10 years, miss no more than a game or two in any given season. That's the kind of stretch they need out of these two guys over the next 4 to 5 years.
Look, there's no doubt about it, and I think with what we're talking about here, specifically about the offensive line, is another example of, look, this team is building towards 2015. As much or more than they are 2014. And this season, because last year was kind of a lost year for Jokel, they're having to replace their longtime center. They're bringing in a free agent left guard. They have a rookie that's probably going to be starting at right guard. And they have a second-year guy at right tackle. He's his second year playing that position for this team. Look, that's a lot that has to gel together on the offensive line, which is of paramount importance for this team if they're going to be protecting a franchise quarterback in Blake Bortles starting in 2015. At least that's the plan. I'm not saying that they're ignoring 2014, but I'm saying that the first half of this season is as much about making sure that they are getting those five guys up front comfortable with one another, making sure that they actually have those positions addressed properly, and seeing what they need to do going into 2015. It really is about that. When you combine that with two rookie wide receivers that are probably going to get significant playing time, they'll have questions at tight end coming up here with Mercedes Lewis being another year older at that point as well. I mean, there's a lot on the offensive side of the ball that points to 2015 more than 2014.
No, I totally agree with that. And it would have been interesting to see had Alex Mack not only signed here but not had his contract matched by Cleveland.
Yeah.
And they had brought in Alex Mack for that big a number. How that would have impacted the draft in terms of, would you have added Brewster to the mix at right guard? Would you have felt maybe less of a need to go get Brandon Linder? And then what, you know, everything that happens after that, maybe you're just taking another position that could impact you on the field this year. You know, maybe you're still going that direction and creating competition to try to get the best five offensive linemen. But I think they'd feel, I mean, as much as they talked about feeling good about Jokel, Beatles, and Brewster, and that's the way Gus Bradley describes him as the left side of the offensive line, and he includes Brewster because he feels like he's just really happy with what he's been doing up to this point. Could you imagine if you had arguably the best guy at his position
right, anchoring
the middle? And that's why they went after. And that's not, look, they can still be happy about Brewster, but clearly Mike Brewster is nowhere near close to being the best center in the National Football League. Give him a chance to play a little bit, but
absolutely, yeah.
you could bring in a guy who's the best at his position, and it's not going to kill you cap-wise. Absolutely. Take a run at it. They did it, and obviously had that match by Cleveland came up a little bit short. All right, practice ongoing right now. Jacksonville Jaguars open OTA session, so we'll get out there in about 25 minutes and see a bunch of you folks out there. In the meantime, today's Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day on Jaguars Today is Justin Blackman related, simply asking, what do you expect in the future? Will he ever suit up for the Jacksonville Jaguars again? Why or why not? Answers pouring in hot and heavy, both via the Twitter. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL. Tweet at 1010XL Fat Tony. Always tweet at 1010XL Lauren as well. And we will look through some of the responses there. And if you're on Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Jaguars Today. First of all, like the page and get all the updates. We post our question of the day every morning on there. And always try to include in either answer the hashtag Jaguars Today, or Tony's going to flat out ignore you if you want a chance to win that T-shirt. Coming back live at Everbank, itching to get out to the practice field. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, I've lathered myself up, Tony, in some thick, some kind of sun-protected oils and lotions on
yep.
face.
And this room smells like the beach again.
A tender face. At least Fortunato didn't break out the spray today. There's still time, though. Fortunato, he's learned that I don't do well with the perfumey smells or
no.
You know the scented aerosols in confined spaces. I think is an accurate way to describe that. Hope to see all of you out there, and be smart if you're coming out. I'm going to be one of these melanoma Nazis now. Got the little skin cancer cut off last month. And fortunately, knock on wood, got a clean bill of health beyond that. But I've got a nice jagged 4-inch scar on the side of my neck to show for it. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to avoid the same, put on the sunblock. And I've done that. Now I'm going floppy hat as well, so I'm a little more distinguishable. Probably the only way people would be able to tell us apart today, wearing the identical Jaguars Today T-shirts and khaki shorts.
Well, that and the height. And
well, that. I was going to end the full beard that you're sporting.
Yeah,
and
no doubt. Other
than those things, I think the floppy hat is what you'll look for today. All right, Tony. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealerships asked you what drives you as a Jaguar fan, and we among the things is a discussion of the wide receivers. A bunch of them injured today. One guy's not injured, but breaking hearts here in Jacksonville, Justin Blackman. Will he ever suit up for the Jags again? We asked you, and some of the responses on Twitter were what?
Here's what we got. We got Sean who said, yes, not a risk to keep him to see if he has changed, and his talent on field was almost unmatched. Hashtag Jaguars Today from Peter, and I'll try to put the emphasis on the words he did here, Mike. I am sick and fed up of hope for Blackman. I believe his stupidity has outperformed his maturity. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag more money than sense. From Doug, we have yes, not costing much to keep, and if he gets in trouble, bye-bye. But what if he stays clean? Hashtag Jaguars Today. Hashtag don't drink and drive. From Ben, we have never again for the Jaguars, though I do believe he'll dress for another team someday. Hashtag Jaguars Today. And from Bold City Bortles, we got he will suit up for practice, won't play a game for the Jaguars, can play for my wife's flag football team, the Jags Hags. Hashtag Jaguars Today.
I like that one. I don't know. Has Bold City Bortles won a T-shirt yet?
I don't know.
He's the leader in the clubhouse. If he hasn't won, we'll have to check the prize list. Lauren Brooks is in charge. Or Lauren Browanko.
Browanko.
Browanko. Brooks Browanko. Who knew? Who knew that she went for the country-looking fellas? And nothing wrong with being a country-looking fella. I just didn't know. Here's a sampling from Facebook. Maybe some of the same people posting there. Let's see. Nope. This one from Sean Corsi. I believe he's shown what he has. He has what it takes to beat. Let me start over. Nope. I don't believe he's shown he has what it takes to beat whatever habit he has. It just doesn't appear the Jags are a priority for him. Hope I'm wrong. From Joshua Rigsby, it seems like no, and for completely selfish reasons, I hope the 49ers try and sign him and see if Harbaugh can turn him around. Obviously, I'm
Sweet.
Guessing a Niner fan there. That's it. That's probably what he needs. Just the Gabbert and Blackman reunion will probably spark a renaissance in both of their careers, I'm guessing now. Let's see. Jay Smith, I doubt he plays for any team for very long, if at all. Damn shame, but it's his cross to bear. Imagine the regret he will have as the years of his life quickly go by. I hope that's not the case for him, but certainly trending not in a great direction. From Luis Osorio, I hope so. Talent like that is rare. I say give him one more chance. I'd hate to have a Chris Carter situation. Hope he can get cleaned up and play for us for years to come. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag best damn show. Sweet. Luis is working for that T-shirt today. And Luis has got himself on the Jaguars Today radar today with that posting on Facebook. So your opinion, Tony, will we ever see Justin Blackmon suit up in a Jaguar uniform again?
My sense right now is no. I think that even when he gets back and he gets himself straightened out, if he ever gets to that point from here, that the team at least is treating it like he's not going to be here. You see that with the 2 second-round picks. We'll see what Cecil does this season. But my sense is that no, we'll never see Blackmon play.
I agree with you for the Jaguars. I'm not going to write off the rest of his NFL career. In fact, I think he would be a commodity that teams would be interested in trying to acquire were he be made available by the Jags. Keep in mind, let's say he's suspended for this entire season, somehow gets reinstated. And I say somehow because all the signs we see are negative, right?
Yeah.
I reach out to him, so Cecil Shorts, don't hear back. You know, it's that information blackout, Tony, that has bothered me since the first show we did in here, like the pre-Jaguars Today show we did with Brent Martineau, and we were asking people, and one after another, it was like, not so much that they wanted it out of sight, out of mind, but that once he went out of sight, he just dropped off the radar, the communication stopped. You got this, you know, the demeanor of people we'd ask the question to change visibly. You know, I don't know what he's going through right now. I have no idea. You see a guy like Darrell Washington get suspended, and then you see him make a very contrite statement. Well, I'm sure it's written for him. I don't know what Darrell Washington is going to be doing 3 months from now. I don't know how much contact his team is going to have with him. So I don't know what is standard operating procedure in one of these type situations. But you just get the sense that not that he's a bad guy in the locker room or he brings his teammates down, but, you know, how many strikes is too many with the same football team?
Sure, and I get the sense, and this is just my sense of the situation. This has nothing to do with what I've been told about what Blackmon is dealing with. We still don't really know what happened to get him this 1 year suspension. We don't have that kind of information. But my sense on Blackmon is that he hasn't learned yet. You know, I mean, that's at least the sense from the information that I have on what happened with him, that he hasn't really come to terms yet with whatever the problem might be for him that is keeping him from getting the opportunity to be back on the field. And when we learned a few months ago that with guys that are suspended the way that Blackmon was, that this offseason he has the opportunity, basically, if he hits some parameters, and we're not sure what those parameters are, but to be reinstated by the league at some point in the offseason in this calendar, and then the league will decide what further punishment there may be for Justin Blackmon. And that now we're in May, and we haven't heard anything in regards to that, makes me think that Justin is not in a position at this point in his life to get himself even reinstated by the league so that he can find out how much time he's going to have to miss. My sense right now is that 2014 is a wash for Justin Blackmon, and then we'll play this game again next offseason to see if he can get himself in a position where the league even makes a judgment on when he can come back, because at this point, he's not a part of the NFL.
Keeping in mind, Tanar Jackson had one of those indefinite suspensions, and it ended up lasting for 2 years with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a long time to wait, but the clock does not tick on his contract. So, and that's the thing, too. If he has enough sense, hopefully he's already regretting some of the decisions he's made. But you don't, like you said, the sense is not that it's gotten through to him from all the feedback that we've gotten from the team about their lack of feedback and lack of communication with Justin Blackmon. But, Tony, the clock would be ticking on his contract, right? He'd be a year or two closer to free agency. He'd be on the brink had he never had an issue. And already had flashed tremendous playmaking ability.
We'd be talking about what kind of contract are they going to
set aside for him. After this season, are they going to carve out, are they going to, with 2 years remaining on his rookie deal, are they going to set him up for a long-term extension here in Jacksonville after this season? At the very least, after the 2015 season.
Yep.
Now, you're going to have to play out that the entirety of that rookie deal. So you're talking about a minimum 1 year on the shelf, we would expect, possibly two,
mm-hmm.
and then 3 years to go after that on your deal before you potentially could come into that second contract. Now, again, you can, you may not get Sam Bradford money at the top of a draft anymore, but it's pretty damn good money if you're smart with it. That's quite, he hasn't been smart about a lot of things up to this point with his professional choices. Will he be smart with his money? I have no way of telling you. I can't tell you what Justin Blackman's doing in that regard. The Tom Bush family of dealerships in the fan feedback spotlight every day asking something about what drives you as a Jaguar fan. And the Tom Bush family of dealerships includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini as well. We invite you to check out TomBush.com. If you're looking for information, if you want to be an informed consumer, you need to head there when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle. You can follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors as well. Give them plenty of feedback on all the stuff that they've been doing with Jaguars today. We would appreciate it if you did. Thanks to Agent Gibb, Andrew Gibson. That's an NCIS reference you're telling us, Andrew.
That's what I'm told.
That you came up with. We do miss you, Gibby. The only nickname I thought that just really fell into my lap was Andy Gibb. But I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to go that direction and put you as like the fourth brother Gibb out there. So, you know, we kind of left him. He may be the only producer that I've never nicknamed. Although I don't really have a nickname for Lauren Brooks. I go the Tiger Woods route. I call her Brooksy sometimes.
As of today's show,
well,
you do.
Today, now we do. Yeah, but that's the duo of Brooks and Bowanko. Bro-anko. That was spectacular. That may earn somebody a Jaguars Today t-shirt as well. Final day of practice, we all want to see the ball in the air. Obviously, a lot of those receivers today. I think I'd like to see Blaine Bortles look good in 11-on-11s, Blake. Getting the fans excited. Did I call him Blaine
he
again?
Did
I do it again? Blake Bortles? Damn. I was going to call him Bortles for the next week. Remember when I said, what did I say with Dave Caldwell I was going to call him? And I never did.
No, but I can't remember what the name was, because I went Gus
Cornwell?
Johnson
was
a couple
it Cornwell?
Times.
I don't know what it was I was going to call Caldwell, and I never had an issue with it. And apparently I've created an issue now with the third quarterback. Where did he play for? The University of Central, what was it?
Florida,
okay.
Yeah.
I know that much about him. Don't know his first name very well, apparently. That's another
Blake.
It's another quarter in the jar. Blake. Why?
Yeah, write it down.
Why have I done this to myself?
It's a memory trick.
I just, you know, I hope for the fans' sake who come out, that's kind of the star of the afternoon.
Well, absolutely. And with the receivers that aren't going to be out there today, you would hope that it's going to be a guy like Blake Bortles. You're not getting to see, you know, the running backs in pads, so there's no tackling. So whatever running they do, they're evaluating something. It's tougher for fans, for media, for all of us to evaluate what's happening with those run plays, because I can't tell when the guy would have or wouldn't have been tackled, because they're not trying to tackle him. They're just trying to tag him and rip the ball out if they can. But, yeah, you hope that Blake Bortles is a star of practice.
Fortunato says he's going to make me write Blake Bortles on the grease board 100 times before I'm allowed to go out to practice. Come on, Pinky, ease up on me. I'll get that done before the end of the week. That is just an unfortunate. I'm going to write Blake Bortles times 100
mm-hmm.
on the board. And that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Richard Miller. Miller on Sports is the Twitter handle, at Miller on Sports. It's also the name of his Tuesday night show right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, and also the voice of the Jacksonville Giants and a frequent Jaguar practice observer. I appreciate him stopping by today. The lovely and talented Lauren Brooks. Still haven't got a Bro-anko photo from anybody in the stand, so... a little disappointed in that. What are you going to do? For Joe Fortunato, for Andrew Gibson back at 1010XL World Headquarters, the boys of the afternoon coming up next. Joe C., Ryan the Hacker Green, and T-Wig, I think, might be off today, as a matter of fact. But we've got XL primetime right around the corner. We're heading out to practice. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Look for me. I'll be the one in the hat. We'll be out there next. And have a great day here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.